Welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. Our services are at 9 and 11 a.m. in Artesia, California. You can find out more about us by going online and visiting us at gotothewell.church and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are loved.
All right. How are we doing? You guys are awake, an extra hour of sleep? Maybe? Oh, man. I do want to add to Tyler's Packer comment. My kids were arguing which color is better. My daughter likes pink. My son likes green. And they're arguing back and forth. And Ella goes, well, Mommy likes pink. And Jude goes, well, Daddy likes green and blue. And they go back and forth. And Jude finally goes, green and blue are better because they're God's favorite colors. And Ella goes, who told you that? My dad told me that. And why are they God's favorite colors? Because they're the Seahawk colors. And Ella goes, okay, yeah, you're right. They're God's favorite colors because the blue ocean, the green land, they just happen to be Seahawk colors. So, you know, it's all good. We are starting a new series today called Into the Mission. We just concluded a huge series called Into the Taboo that hopefully challenged you a little bit, made you a little uncomfortable, and really got us to a place where we are okay to talk about subjects that make you uncomfortable. They should. And if we want to be any kind of positive influence in our culture and our community, we need to be able to have those conversations without running away scared into our churches and saying boo-hoo. We need to be able to engage in a relevant way. And so one thing that we did is we provided a resource center throughout this series. But today's the last day that you can purchase any of those books in the resource center. Again, we don't get any profits from it. You actually get a discount from the price on Amazon. So go ahead and take a look at that between services and grab a hold of a few resources. Again, we want to not just have belief, but we want to go to understanding. And so that means some work on your part. So with that, with this series, I made this little booklet. It's like homework, notes in workbook, but it's all the sermon notes for today, including some like follow up things that you can do to go a little deeper. So I didn't print one for everyone because I see how many bulletins get thrown away. Let's just be honest. And so I want to be a good steward. But if you want one of these, I've got 25 for this service. Just raise your hand. Aaron's going to come by and get one for you. And if there are more than 25 that want one, we can take some from second service. But again, I want to try my best to provide you with resources to really go for us to not just belief in these things, but we want to move to what? Understanding. Because that's when action happens. We can believe all that we want. But until you put it into action, it's going to be a struggle. So our last adventure in our sermon series was Into the Taboo. This is what God does. Every adventure you've ever been in is to prepare you for the next adventure. Always. And so as we are now going into the mission, we see that we don't have to be afraid. Paul writes to Timothy, says, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but a power and a love and of self-control. Can you imagine if those were characteristics to describe you? Can you imagine if you were at a place where you could say that I did not have fear, that I have self-control, and that I had ability to love in a powerful way? Because this is what I know about every single person in this room. And I want to make sure everyone who wanted one got one. Okay. Awesome, cool. We have a few more, so just throw something at Aaron, and we'll be good. But this is what I want. We have the opportunity, we have the privilege for every person in this room. We get to look to our future with hope and purpose. I really want to make sure every single person in this room heard that. So if the person next to you is asleep, just kind of hit them with your elbow. Even if they weren't asleep, just hit them with your elbow anyway. It's called community. We have the privilege and the opportunity. God literally invites us to look to our future with hope and with purpose. And when we are able to understand that, we understand that God has not only given us a hope, but because of the purpose, that purpose is a mission. It's a mission that he has given every single person who has proclaimed and said, Jesus is my Lord. What we're saying is we're ready to go. It's not only to get a job done, but it allows us to not just for God to do something in us, but allows us to God to do something through us. Anyone, it just get, you don't like sitting around? Like, you just, how many of you like love sit around? Like, Netflix is your friend. Okay. For me, like, I don't like just sitting. Now, there are times for sitting, and I'll binge watch, you know, things, stuff like that. But for the most part, I don't like staying still. And I don't like going off someone else's schedule. I like to go. Like, walking into a Target with my wife is one of the most, like terrifying things in our marriage. Because we just want to go in opposite directions. So that's what we do. So if you ever run into us Target, you saw Aaron, then you saw Eric, you're like, oh my gosh, they're fighting. No, we're keeping us from fighting. we're being proactive. But when a person knows who they are, how to operate their gifts, and grabs a hold of the calling that God has for their life, that person is now called unstoppable. It's when everything starts coming into alignment and you start moving and grooving. It's if you ever like going on the freeway and you start veering off to the left and you hit that bo 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 bo. That's most of you how you live your life. Now imagine if your car was in alignment, you have a full tank of gas, you just got the thing washed, and there are no kids in the back yelling and screaming at you, but you have a destination, your map says where to go, and you go. That's freedom. And that's what God has for you and I. Now, the main verse that we're going to be going over for the next 5 weeks, I'm really excited because one of my best friends in the world is actually going to be concluding this series in December. He's a missionary in Australia, has an incredible church that is just doing incredible things in Culver City. And so he's going to be able to conclude this series with us. But I want us to read this. I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to read it all together. It's Acts chapter 1, verse 7 through 8. Acts chapter 1, 7 through 8. It's going to be here on the screen behind me, and it's going to be in your notes. It's going to be on your mind, and I encourage you to even write it in your house somewhere because this is huge. We could spend all day going through the entire Bible, but if we don't get this, there's not a point. So this, I'm going to read this, then we're going to read it together. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Okay, let's do this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is your mission. This is our assignment, that we are now being promoted to brag about Jesus to every aspect of our life. That's really the mission. It's not even that complicated. Literally, you can do nothing else but just brag about Jesus and mission accomplished. But what happens is we do everything else and rarely brag about Jesus. We're extremely religious people who don't want anyone to know we're religious. And so we come to this place that God has called us to tell him. He says that we're going to be witnesses. Other names for witnesses is storytellers, braggers, marketers, ambassadors, brand wearers, testimony givers. If you wear a shirt with a giant Nike swoosh, that thing, the check mark, the fancy check mark, you wear that, you have now becoming a witness of that company. You're letting people know that's what you're about, or that's what you and that's the clothes that you like, or whatever else thing that you may be wearing you become a brand wearer of that. And so that is to become witnesses. Now, Jesus, let's make sure we define who Jesus is. He is God's bridge to humanity to have a full and intimate relationship with God. Now, we're going to define everywhere because sometimes we struggle with that word everywhere. Even the Bible, they ask Jesus, now, who's our neighbor exactly? Because how many of you, we like to like include everyone, but not everyone? You know what I mean? Like, God loves them all except for this list. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, where you are, outside of your front door, the places and people that you avoid, outside of even your direct influence throughout the nations, that we are told to go into all the world. There's a very specific reason why Jesus describes it in this way, and we're going to break that down through these next couple of weeks. See, oftentimes in church, when we hear mission, we think of missions. We somehow put an S on that, right? Missions is out there. Missions is overseas. Missions is to impoverished nations, which it is. But what can happen is we think missions is so out there, we forget about the mission that is right here. And so you may not be called to Africa. You may not be called to Bulgaria, but you are called to be a missionary in the home that you are in. You are called to be a missionary in the workspace that you find yourself in. We are called people. God has called you. Say that out loud. Well, say that out loud in your brain, if you know what I mean. Like, speak that really loud in your brain. God has called me. God has called me. Now look at the person next to you and say, God has called you. That's important because a lot of times we go, hey, this is my message for you. I'm not listening to it, but it's for you, girlfriend. Like you need to hear this. Mission is not just out there. It is right here. With all your junk, with all your past, with all your insecurities, with all your pride, and with all your gifts, God has called you. The good thing is he doesn't ask you to do it alone. He says you've been given the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of times when we think the power of the Holy Spirit, we think of like the Force from Star Wars. Like we should be able to move things with our mind. We should apparently be able to force project and be lame. But we should be able to do these like crazy, incredible, mystical things. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. But you know, the power of the Holy Spirit is more like Lord of the Rings than it is like Star Wars. The power of the Holy Spirit is literally more like a fellowship of believers, a fellowship of people who have friendships who can encourage and challenge you and help you when you can't help yourself. That power of the Holy Spirit is more practical than is mystical. And so you don't have to have this incredible falling on your face, speaking on tongues moment for God to use you. Sometimes you just have to walk in wisdom. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. I love it. When you look throughout the scripture, especially in the Old Testament, these Old Testament heroes that we lift up, they weren't pastors and priests. They weren't superheroes. They were just literally normal, ordinary people that were called by God. Moses, he struggled with being overwhelmed and anxiety and had a speech impairment. You know how freeing that was for me as a kid growing up with a speech impediment to realize that Moses had a speech impediment? Oh, man, God, you use imperfect people. That's pretty cool. David struggled with lust and depression. Miriam lived a life in poverty and was oppressed. Esther didn't want to make any waves. I'm going to be queen. It's going to be great. I'll kind of speak up for my people, but just let me just do that. And that's where I think majority of us, we can identify with Esther and go, hey, I don't want to cause problems. I don't want to bring up the Jesus thing at work. I don't want to bring up Jesus with my friends. Like, I even feel awkward with my kids. I just let's just all just be harmony and just chill and just like not cause waves. And let's just go to church and let's just do our thing. But just as Mordecai told Esther, and I believe God is speaking to us, is this is the time for you to fulfill the calling that God has on your life. You don't have to be perfect to be used by God. So before we get into it, what's keeping you from responding to the mission that Jesus brought before you? Moses, again, it was his speech man. He goes, God, I can't even talk. What is it that's you that causes fear and anxiety for God to use you? I have a long list, and you're going to hear all about these next few weeks. But what is it for you? I want to share three really simple things for you. This message is probably one of the simplest messages I've ever taught, but if you grab a hold of it, it will change not only your life, it will change your family, it will change your community. If Christians all around the world would grab a hold of these just very simple things, everything would change. So number one, write this down. You are wanted. You can even write there in your notes, I am wanted. You are wanted. You know God can do incredible things without you? You know God doesn't need you? Wants you. I feel like as we were praying before service today, I wrote this down. I just felt like it was for someone in this room. God is not obligated to love you. God is not obligated to be present with you. God desires to be with you. Hear that. That's two very different things. You know, you have a friendship who just feels obligated to be there, like you have to be there. But then you have the friends that desire you to be there. You don't always have to be chasing them because they chase you too. God desires you. He loves you. He wants you. John 15, 16 says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide." Does anyone else in this room want to bear some fruit? Anyone else want to look back in their life and say, hey, my life mattered? It makes all the difference when you realize that God has chosen you. One of my favorite things to do, and I didn't really like this until the last couple of years, but in every professional sport, there's something called the draft. You know what the draft is? When teams are competing for the same players to try to get you on their team. And it's one of those great things because you see these big, buff guys, man, they can do anything. They're just like, oh, and then you just see them crying like babies. Why? Because someone said, I wanted you. And when you get drafted, what happens is that team is committing to develop you, to support you, and to promote you. For someone to receive that, you can look back at those people that believed in you, what that feels to that team person. But at the same time, there are those players who are called walk-on players. These are walk-on players. They have to pursue the team. They have to work really hard and earn their spot. And every single play, every single game is going to determine whether or not they get to come back. That's every other faith out there. But God's drafted us. I want you to check out this video. So how do you respond when you find out you got drafted? He got baptized. When you realize you are wanted and you are desired by God, when you respond to the mission that he has for your life, you're not doing it out of obligation. You're doing it out of worship. Do you see that response to find out that he was called to go play for the Steelers? That the excitement, not only for himself, but his family, to break down and realize the incredible opportunity that he has been given. You have been given a greater opportunity because you are wanted by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the one who is the Alpha and the Omega. And he says, I pick you. Come on, if that doesn't get you excited, I really don't know what's going to be, because there's a lot of reasons why I can tell you why no one should pick me. I can tell you all the reasons why I should not be drafted, because I've got issues, God. He says, I know. And I'm going to use them. Not for your glory, but for his glory. And then we get to benefit from that. And what happens is when we are people who just are needed, we become tools. And tools get thrown out when they're done. But God has called us to be jewels. And jewels, you don't throw away jewels. You buff them out. You clean them up. You put them back out there. Because you are wanted. Secondly, you're gifted. You are gifted. Again, in your notes, you can write, I am gifted. The kind of three little sub-points to that is you need to discover your gifts. Discover your gifts. What are you good at? What do you love? What are you passionate about? Now, we can look through Scripture, and those of you with the little handbook, you get a little extra homework. There's gifts of the Father that are given to all people in Romans 12. There are the gifts of the Son that are given to us in Ephesians 4 that are for the church. And then there are gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, and those are as needed, as a need arises to advance the kingdom. But even those gifts in the Scriptures are not exhaustive. They're not. What are you passionate about? What do you love to do? What gets you up in the morning? You wish while you're at work, hating your job, what do you wish you could be doing? Begin to write that down and begin to really process through that. And if you write those things down, begin praying over them, Lord, what does this mean? What does this look like? Because the next step is what you need to do is you need to practice your gift. You need to practice your gift. You're like, I don't have any place to practice my gift. You know, that's why we encourage serving at the church so much. Because when we serve at the church, it is practice. When we serve at the church, we're practicing for what the game is outside. It's just practice. Man, if you say I wrote down a couple of examples. Maybe you want to learn how to build relationships and resolve conflict. Maybe you need to do that. Become a connect group leader. You'll run into conflict real quick. Because anytime you put people together, there's conflict. And you get to build relationships with people, how to build a healthy culture. Maybe you're struggling in your business, build healthy culture. Try it first in the connect group. And say, hey, this is my goal I want to do. Can you help me? And guess what? Now you have a community of people that are supporting you. Maybe you want to practice teaching or patience. Learn how to have faith again. Go serve in kids' life. You want to learn how to have faith? Go serve with kids. Because they will take you to school on how to believe Jesus and that who he says he is without questioning it. Begin serving in kids' life. Maybe you need to, you want to meet new people. Maybe you're new to the church or you just want to meet new people or you have some people skills you need to work on. Join the welcome team. You know, like learn how to say, hello, it's good to see you. Instead of just standing there, like one of the greatest advice I ever got from one of my mentors, he goes, take your hands out of your pockets. You're not very friendly if your hands are in your pockets. Okay. That was simple. Be able to learn and practice because when you're out there in your work, you can grow in a new way. Maybe you want to work with creative people, learning how to increase production value, learning how to be creative, learning how to use your gifts, whether it be motion graphics or doing the things that you see here on the screen or learning sound technicians, all those different things. Join our media team. There are people, it's just, we're practicing, right, Nancy? We're practicing. The bumpers that you see that Brian is producing, that's helping him better at his career. Because what we get to practice is at church, you know, you get a little bit of grace, you know, if you mess up a little bit, you know. And it's free, so it's good. I'm not paying you for it. But this is the opportunity. But he's never messed up. That wasn't towards you, Brian. No, your stuff is awesome. But that's one of the reasons why even here in the way that Aaron and I have chosen to lead our teams in our church is you're going to find things aren't always going to be perfect. We're going to strive for perfection, but because we rather develop people than try to do it right all the time. And you get to practice that within the church. This other thing, you want to ground your gift. This is why we do Well Ministry College, so that you can get a firm biblical understanding and foundation so you can be a better plumber. So you can be a better technician. So you can be a better preschool teacher. So you can be a better banker. You can be a better doctor because of the foundation, the formal education of being able to do your job better. This is why we're to be discipled. Grab a hold of someone or if you're even interested in being discipled, write down a connect card, disciple me. And write your name on it, please. Even the interpretation of tongues isn't going to help us there. Be on teams where you can learn to submit yourself to accountability and development. But all these ways, the way that you are gifted, but any gift that you have needs to be developed. And we have purposely designed this church to help you do that. Not so we can be a great church on Sunday morning, so we can be a great church Monday through Saturday. So you can develop these things. Number three, write this down. You are called. You are called. Again, you can write, I am called. Calling is different than desire. Desire is I want you. Calling is I trust you. Again, you may be going, I'm not worth trusting. God knows what you're capable of. And he still chooses you and says you're called. Check this out. Did you know that you are in a better position to reach your community with the gospel than I am? You are in a better location, you know, real estate, location, location, location. You're in a better location to be the minister and the pastor and the person who's showing Jesus to your nurse ward. You are the perfect person to be in your classroom. You are the perfect person to be amongst your clients. You are in the position that God has strategically placed you to be a blessing to people and not a curse. This my calling is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. It means for the work of the mission, for building up the body of Christ. My job is to help develop you to go be Jesus in your context, in your mission field. That's literally, my job isn't to go to your work and go evangelize or tell people about Jesus at your work. The moment they hear pastor, that sometimes they just shut their brain off. Yep. But they hear supervisor. To hear, oh, that person that worked with me on that project. Oh, that person that cried with me when I found out that my parents died. That person that is right there in the cubicle next to him is the most effective person that God can use because they are wanted, they are gifted, and they are called to serve in that place of ministry right there. The top of the ministry ladder is not full-time ministry. The top of the ministry ladder is where you are. Being obedient and responding to God's call in your life. That's what our goal is to be. That when we live on one of the, I forget, his name is Larry, I think, Whitmire or something like that. He's a pastor of Light and Life in Long Beach, this huge multiplication church. He said this, life on mission is about intersecting gospel intentionality into our everyday routines. We're not just to think of missions or to give to missions. We are to live missionally. Know that each and every conversation that we have has an eternal impact on a quality of life implication. All you have to do is say, yes, Lord, use me here. This is when we get into the taboo subjects, right? This is when people are like, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? God will continue to equip you. The more you step out in obedience, the more that you respond to him, the more he responds to you as you respond in your calling. We are not obligated to live on mission. We're not. You can just say, thank you, Jesus, and you know, do your thing, and we'll see you in heaven. But there are tangible rewards that God gives us when we respond in obedience, because we are invited into this mission. If you are bored in your faith, I can tell you why. Because you're not on mission. You're not responding, because if you watch any TV or any movies, come on, James Bond never looks bored. Right? Like, you know, even the Get Smart guy never looks bored. You know? You know, Jack Ryan's new show, he never looks bored, and he was Jim on The Office, you know? He never looks bored because they are on mission. They know where they're going, they know how to get there, and they're gonna go. And if you've really, again, watching the shows, what happens every single time? The plan falls apart, right? And then you have to call audibles in order to go accomplish the mission. That's what it's all about, to be able to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to go into all the world. As a witness, we must pursue strong biblical foundations, intimate relationship with Jesus, and just be around people. One of the saddest things of all of Christendom is when someone becomes saved, they start following Jesus, and somehow they have less friends. Specifically, they have less people, friends that aren't, who don't know Jesus. Now, I recognize there's a time you've got to get away from people because certain lifestyles are going to pull you down and you're not strong enough. There's a part of that where you have to go in kind of monastery mode. But for the most part, we need to be able to live and not alienate ourselves from our community or even our families. You know that God wants you to live on mission at Thanksgiving this year? You know God wants you to live on mission in those crazy malls? You're not pointing them to where Macy's is, I know. Are you willing to live on mission Christmas when that family member comes? Are you willing to live on mission when that bonus doesn't come that you expect at the end of this year? Are you willing to live on mission? Are you willing to have meaningful conversations? Are you willing to be present with people? Maybe even starting a missional community. If you don't know what that is and you're interested, let me know and I'll talk to you about it. Maybe it's pursuing friendships with believers and non-believers. Maybe it's being active in your community, being active in your neighborhood. I'm going to give you some tools in 2 weeks that are going to help you get active in your neighborhood, because God says, love your neighbor. You're like, who's that? I'm going to invite the worship team up. And I want us to take this time, not only in worship today and as we take communion today, but I want you to take this time even this week. What does it mean to adventure into the mission? What does it mean that you are wanted, that you are gifted, and that you are called? And you can very easily, again, you can very easily just kind of put on your ice skates and just have fun. Or if you want to just stop and say, Lord, what are you speaking to me in this moment? I strongly believe this is one of those moments in the hero's journey in any adventure where you're at a crossroads. There's a life that you're going to live no matter what. And there's a life that's going to be lived empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's not complicated. All it takes is one moment, one opportunity for you to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing. Not out of obligation, but out of a complete desire to follow Jesus. So I want to invite you to stand. As we sing our first song, the prayer buckets will be up here. I'll come back up and we'll have communion together. But use this time to come before the Lord. Use this time to just focus. Lord, I hear that you desire me. What's for me next? So let's worship together.
Thank you for listening to The Well Podcast. If you'd like more information or would like to get connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. You are loved.